Good morning and welcome to our worship service. We begin our service with a prayer to our Lord to seek his blessing upon our worship. Lord God, our merciful Father, you have sent your only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to open the eyes of the blind. May you open our eyes so that we may see and understand your word, that we may know our sins and believe and trust in you for forgiveness and salvation. May you open our hearts also, so that we may worship and praise you with our whole hearts. We come before you with humble hearts, seeking your grace. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our opening hymn is Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation, hymn 909. Please stand. We conduct this service in the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We join to make confession of our sins. O most merciful God, I confess to you with a sorrowful heart all my sins. I have sinned against you in what I have thought, said, and done. Have mercy upon me, I pray, and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Send your Holy Spirit to help me know your holy will and willingly obey it in the spirit of Christian love and thankfulness. Preserve me in the Christian faith so that I finally enter the eternal life in heaven through our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, for he delivered up Jesus on the cross for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. Since the Lord gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the Christian church, saying that whoever sins you forgive in his stead, they are forgiven. Therefore, according to Jesus' command, as a called servant of God, I forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 to 6. And we find the Son of God speaking here about himself and carrying out his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. And here we find Jesus carrying out his ministry. And he is in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth. And he gets up to address the group. And he reads from Isaiah chapter 61. And he tells them, this scripture is being fulfilled before you. Namely, he's the Messiah. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book from the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Here ends this, our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join to confess our faith in the triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, the Church's Head. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, starting with verse 12. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which he lacks, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one another suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So far our text. Please be seated. Spiritual head of the body of believers, dear fellow redeemed. The human body is truly a great marvel of God's creation. We don't have to be a doctor or an biologist to know how extraordinary this body that God has created is, a living unit. It's clearly observable that the human body itself is a complete unit made up of many different parts. Each of these parts have their own particular function to perform. And all these parts or members work together for the common good of the body. Among these many body parts are the senses that enable us to smell, to see, to hear, to feel. And then there are also the appendages, the limbs, that enable us to move about and perform different kinds of activities. And then there are the internal organs, all very important, along with many other parts of the body, all jointly fit together into one human body. The Apostle Paul uses this complete living unit as a comparison to yet another very special creation of God, namely, his church of believers. As a group of believers, we're not made up of people who are completely separate or independent of each other. No. We are a group of individuals who have been drawn together to make up one complete body, which the Bible refers to as the body of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. And even as the human body consists of many parts, with each part having its own particular function to perform, for the good of the body, so also the church of believers, made up of many members, each of us having various gifts and abilities and roles to perform for the common good of the Christian church, fellow believers. One of the problems in the Christian church in Corinth in Paul's day was that the members were not acting or functioning as a single unit working together for the common good of their fellow Christians in Corinth. Instead of displaying a kindred spirit of unity, there was a spirit of disunity. There were some who were discontent with their roles that they were called upon to perform, and they were envious of others who had those roles that they thought that they should have. And there were those who looked down upon others with a spirit of superiority and aloofness. The members in Corinth were not showing a spirit of loving concern for one another. Acting as a disjointed body, they weren't working together for the common good of one another. Therefore, it became necessary for Paul to address this issue with those Christians of Corinth, as well as Christians today. He had to remind them of how it works in the Christian church, the body of Christ. The members are united together into one body, the body of Christ, that we are to use our gifts and our abilities for the benefit of the whole body. The Christian church, or the body of Christ, is the most important group of people that we could be a part of. Oh yeah, there's all other kinds of groups that people join, like social clubs or business organizations in which individuals attend meetings, pay their dues, and take part in temporal activities. The importance of the church is not based upon a social, economic, political, or patriotic consideration. Rather, it's based on a common faith. Faith in the precious knowledge of the one true triune God. And in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, we're bonded together into a very special group of people, the spiritual body of Christ. Paul writes of the special oneness of this body of which we are a part of. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul tells us that it's through baptism that we are, and it's not a matter of race or nation, that we're drawn together into this close, united body, this intimate group, working in and through that precious means of grace and baptism. The Holy Spirit penetrates our hearts and our minds and brought us about a marvelous change, imparting to us saving faith. Possessing a new spirit of heart, we look to one God, one Father of us all in faith, trusting in Him to take care of us, and we show our love for Him by being willing to obey His commandments. Maybe I've said this before. I don't always remember. Can you summarize the commandments in one word? Law? Statutes? Love. Love summarizes all the Ten Commandments, love for God and love for our neighbor. We regard Jesus as our elder spiritual brother who laid down His life for us, for our forgiveness and salvation. And we rejoice in that one spirit of spiritual work uniting us together with God and with one another in a blessed fellowship. Having been joined together in this one family of God, we then look to each other with a kindred spirit of love and concern for brothers and sisters in the Lord. Yesterday was a marvelous day for the women, was it not? You were able to see and listen and talk to fellow Christians across the United States. And certainly you displayed, I would imagine, a common bond and loving concern for one another. Quite an experience, quite a blessing. In order that this mutual love and concern continues to grow and flourish, we regularly get together around God's Word and sacraments. For in this way, we drink in that life-giving, life-sustaining, life-refreshing Spirit of God. Having been made a part of the body of Christ, we're not to be looking upon ourselves as separate, individual, independent entities who are only concerned about ourselves. No. Being a part of the whole body, we're sensitive to and we're concerned about the welfare of each and every member of the body of Christ, the Holy Christian Church. Paul writes in Galatians, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So closely are we joined together in this one body that what affects one part of the body affects the rest of the body. Using an example of the human body again, when you stub your toe, is the pain just experienced by the toe? Its entire body is affected by the stubbing of your toe. And when one part of the body is injured, the rest of the body gets into action to help repair that injury or to alleviate the problem. When one Christian suffers, other Christians feel empathy, sympathy, concern, compassion for the rest of their Christian church. One is affected, the others are all affected. In the New Testament church, we read of a number of instances where Christian brethren who were separated by miles and didn't have any personal acquaintance with those Christians across the globe, where when they heard that there were Christians over there that were suffering or in need, they prayed for them. They did what they could to be of help to them. And when we have one example of that, when in Judea, Christians were suffering severe trials and hardships, well, brethren all over the world came and moved into action, and they did what they could to help those people in need. In ways like this, each member of the body seeks to be of service to other members of the body. Where Christian love and unity exist, there's no room for the spirit of only looking out for oneself, nor is there place for factions, divisions, in which members will only associate with some and not with others within the Christian fellowship. This is to be the case in our congregation, as well as our sister congregations of the CLC at large. With a human body, there is no group of parts which separate themselves from the rest of the body. They are equally joined together, making up one united body, each working for the common good of the other parts. This is the way it works in the Christian church. At least this is the way it should be working. Earlier we spoke of the great marvel of the human body in that it has many parts, each having a specific function to perform for the body as a whole. God has similarly equipped his church of believers with differing gifts and abilities, which we are to be using for one another, for fellow Christians. In his letter to the Romans, Paul mentions some of those gifts as he declares, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, serving, let's use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortations, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Each of us, each and every one of us, have been given different gifts and abilities, which God wants us to use in service of his church. In our congregation, some are called to lead. They have abilities to lead different ways in church council. Now, just because some people have been elected and chosen to serve in these leadership roles, that doesn't mean they do all the work. Now, if there's need in some other areas where other people have different gifts and abilities to help out, then they come forward and do what they can to be of service of the church. And there's certainly much work to be done in the Lord's kingdom. There is a role for each and every one of us to serve in. In Paul's letter to the Romans, again, we read of how a person might serve by giving encouraging word to those in need, by visiting shut-ins, lonely, or sick, by doing common ordinary tasks for those in need, by giving financial offerings toward the general or special work of the church, and finally, showing mercy to others. You know, it's interesting in Jesus' ministry, when people were in need, the way in which they asked him for help, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And this was simply saying, "Please, Lord, see my need, have pity upon me, and help me." That is what we are to be doing for fellow Christians. Show mercy where there is need for help. As we grow older, there are still things that we can do. We can share the wisdom that we've gained over the years. We can pray. Pray for the pastor. Pray for our fellow believers. We should never think that there's nothing that we can do that can contribute for the church, benefit of the church. If there still remains a question of what we can do, we'll look on Christ and his word. How we can use our gifts to help one another. As we recognize the gifts and abilities God has blessed us with for the church, we should never look upon them as being insignificant or inconsequential, and then for that reason wish we had some other role that we could perform. Paul answering this by saying once again the comparison of the human body, saying, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Many members of our body have each their function, and we need one another. Just as our body has different parts that performs different things, we need those different parts for our body. On the other hand, none should look down upon others and what they do as if we can get along without their help in the church. Paul responds to this saying, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. We're all a part of the body of Christ, each having been given a respective role to perform for the common good of the whole body. May the Lord enable us to recognize those gifts and abilities that He's granted us, and then be faithful in using them for the benefit of our fellow Christians. And may the Holy Spirit continue to work in our hearts so that we are concerned for and have a willing spirit to serve one another in the spirit of love and devotion. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. You are all very likely aware of the decision that the congregation made last Sunday concerning our school, that we would not be holding a next school year. We want to at this time remember our school to the Lord, along with the general prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing our school for so many years, blessing our school with faithful teachers who taught and instructed the children from a Christian perspective. We pray, O Lord, that the many students that came into our classrooms, that what they learn about you and your word and your ways will stay with them throughout their life, even to the very end. We pray, O Lord, that if in the future you bless us with a number of children to make it possible for us to open the doors of the school once again to teach the children the different subjects from a Christian perspective. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus and for making known in him the mysteries of your gracious will, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. We offer thanks for the redemption that you've given us through the blood of his cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, for deliverance from all evil, and for the hope of glory in heaven. We praise you, Lord, for you have bestowed upon us your saving word, through which your Holy Spirit has called us to faith and enlightened our understanding. We pray, O God, that the gospel of Christ, crucified for sinners, may have free course in the lives and hearts of people the world over, and that your house may be filled with believers from every race and nation, and that heaven and earth may ring with songs of praise for this great salvation. Dear Lord, watch over your church throughout the whole world and grant unto it faithful leaders who are true shepherds, proclaiming your word without the errors of human opinions. For all who have the cares of government in their hands, give guidance, wisdom, and a sense of true justice and morality, so that our land may be governed in such a way that your name may be hallowed, your kingdom may come, and your will be done. Graciously help us, O God, to redeem the time, using our days wisely as disciples of our Lord, Stir us up to use the gifts that you have given us for the work of your kingdom. Renew in us a steadfast spirit. Turn us away from the paths of sin. Comfort all who may be afflicted, and guard our loved ones wherever they may be. We especially ask, dear Lord, for your protection for those who are serving our country and the armed forces overseas, and for the potential victims of violence in foreign conflicts. Dear Father, as we have received Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, so let us live our lives for him, rooted and built up in faith and abounding in all good works. All these things we pray in the name of him who loved the church and gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And in his name we also join to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the singing of the next hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, hymn 649. Please stand. We continue with the responsive reading that's found on the top of page 10. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the final hymn, Almighty Father, bless the word. And please stand for the last stanza. Please be seated. There are a number of announcements I'd like to draw your attention to. Following the service this morning, the Ladies Auxiliary will be meeting. Also, I'd like to read the response of Pastor Paul Krause, to whom we had issued a call to be our pastor. It didn't make it into the bulletin because bulletins were printed on Friday and this came Saturday. Dear members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, greetings. This letter is to inform you that I have decided to return the call you extended to me to be your pastor. And as I do so, it is with my continued prayers for God's blessing on your gospel ministry in California, and that in his time, the Lord would lead a man to fill your call as pastor into your future. And I do appreciate your prayers for God's blessings here on my continuing ministry at Trinity in Wonertown and at Zion in Hydewood Township here in South Dakota. Again, God's blessings to you during this Epiphany season. Yours in Christ, Pastor Paul Krause. And because of this, the schedule has been changed around a bit in consultation with President Blank. Next Sunday after the service, we'll have a call meeting, and the council meeting will take place the following Sunday, the second Sunday in February. Please note the change that was made at the voters meeting about monies that we'll be sending into the Synod. Since we have members who have been transferred into our congregation from St. Stephen and Hayward, the offering figure that we sent indicated that we would be giving this year, it goes up from $4,836 to $11,040 for the year. And this would be $920 per month that we would be sending into the Synod. With God's blessing, hopefully we'll be able to accomplish this. The contribution statement for 2024 can be found in the distribution boxes. The February church calendar is also there. This Wednesday, I'm going to be going to Merced to visit Jerry Dimple and give him the Lord's Supper. Choir. I'm wondering if the choir would like to sing for special services. So if you can kind of quickly confer at some point, she'd like, if you do, she has some songs along with what Michaela may suggest to sing. And just wanted to mention that a former professor of Emmanuel, our school in Eau Claire, turns 100 years old on February 1st. And we have a card in the, on the lectern in the narthex if you'd like to add your name. Even if he doesn't know you, you could sign your name. But there are some former students that remember him. 100 years old. He is still a pastor of two congregations. He preaches sitting down, and a layman does the liturgy. So this is amazing. I thought that a man named Professor Radke, preaching till he's 90 years old, I thought that's amazing. But 100, that is truly extraordinary. May God so richly bless him and all of you.